This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 640, 416 till 7. Rain again today, then it cools off tomorrow. Highs in the 50s tomorrow and Thursday, and then not quite as cool on Friday. Highs then as it stands now, about 63 degrees. So, Rafael Goyeneche joins us now, president of Metropolitan Crime Commission, to talk about this second-line shooting and how it spans both banks of the river. How you doing, Rafael?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for getting up and taking the time with us. Let's talk about this whole thing that's going on with two brothers that have different names that were involved in. I'll just let you tell the story because you'll probably be better versed to do it than am I. But it was a drive-by in West Wego, then a shooting at the second line, and it involved a beef that goes back. Tell me about it.
Well, right. So, I mean, you know, the highlights of it are that during the second line in mid-November on Almanaster Street, there was video of some people engaged in an argument that resulted in a double homicide. And the other day, the police arrested Curtis Gray as one of the shooters in that incident. So apparently Curtis Gray, as a juvenile in Jefferson Parish, had been arrested and prosecuted for an attempt murder there. Gray and another individual were involved in an attempted murder in Jefferson Parish. The shooter was not Gray, was another young man. He ended up pleading guilty and getting 7 years. Curtis Gray, in that particular case, because he was a juvenile, his case was transferred to adult court in Jefferson Parish, and he ended up pleading to a probated sentence for aggravated battery. And the reason that the district attorney's office in Jefferson granted that deal was because he wasn't the shooter. B, the victim, who was a 16-year-old, moved out of state, and his mother refused to return to Louisiana for the prosecution. And the mother was okay with the non-shooter, Gray, getting a probated sentence. So basically, he was on probation when he committed that double homicide. And, so now he is potentially facing life in prison if he's convicted of these murders. So this is another example of, you know, how you can have a violent offender, a youthful violent offender. And because of the circumstances, he avoided prison. And now he's facing potentially a life sentence, and two people have lost their lives as a result of that.
So just like with Orleans Parish, is there anything Jefferson Parish could have done anything differently to keep this guy from either getting a gun or getting back on the street?
Well, no. I mean, as far as getting the gun, you know, there are apparently now his mother has been arrested. So the gun in this particular instance, the shooting, the murder weapon, was linked to another arrest in Jefferson Parish involving another family member of the mother. I'm not exactly sure what the relationship was. but there was a young man arrested for possessing a firearm as a juvenile at a parade route. And what ended up happening is that the weapon was returned to the mother by the judge in this particular case. And then that weapon, when it was confiscated by the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, did a ballistics profile on it. And the casings from that weapon from the arrest in 2023 for a parade route, possessing a firearm at a parade route, were the same ballistics for the murder weapon that was used on Albert Astor Street last month. So that weapon was put back into commerce, and apparently Gray obtained it. And so, you know, there's, you know, again, returning a weapon to a family that apparently wasn't able to make sure that children weren't having access to it was, I think, poor judgment in this particular case. But, you know, that's hindsight. I don't see, as far as the deal that was offered Gray, you have to have a cooperating victim. And if the victim, who was 16 years old, left state, and his mother was not coming back to Louisiana, it limited the district attorney's office, and they decided to take the best potential outcome. They got the shooter. He got 7 years, and Gray ended up getting probation and was on probation at the time that he committed this double homicide.
Now, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. One thing I think I do want to talk about is the metropolitan aspect of this, where it's not just an Orleans Parish thing. It's not just a Jefferson Parish thing. I think there was some cooperation here, which led to the arrest, which is a positive thing. And the other thing, Raphael, and look, I'm a gun guy. I own guns, several guns. I have a concealed carry permit. I'm not anti-gun. But one thing that all of these crimes have in common is that gun, right? So I don't know how you, in the future, you go about preventing any of this, or is it just the society that we live in, or I don't know how the mother can be prosecuted unless they can prove that she gave the gun to the kid. We'll talk about all when we come back. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:54, 6 till 7. Rafael Goyeneche, our friend, our guest, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. So the arrest made in the second line shooting that goes back to an ongoing dispute between rival groups in Marrero and West Wego, and that goes to, I guess, the Metropolitan Crime Commission, Rafael, which is not just about Orleans Parish. And talk right about, I guess, the interagency cooperation that happened here to affect an arrest.
Right. So, you know, it's law enforcement recognizes that the offenders really don't pay attention to jurisdictional boundary lines. So they know that offenders that reside in one parish often commit crimes in adjoining parishes. So there is a longstanding, you know, history of cooperation between law enforcement. And this case is a perfect example of the coordination and cooperation and communication that exists on a daily basis with the law enforcement agencies from this area. So the JPSO, the NOPD, the Louisiana State Police, you know, the Jefferson Parish District Attorney's Office, the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, they're all working together. And if they have information and if they have evidence that is helpful in solving a crime in one parish, it's going to make the entire area, including, the suburban parishes, safer. So that this is not the exception. This is the norm. This happens every day in law enforcement and has been the case for years with law enforcement recognizing that if they can work together to solve a crime, everybody benefits from that.
And in this case, I know the usual route is the people talk about Orleans Parish crimes spilling over into Jefferson Parish, but in this case, it was just the opposite. Kind of?
Well, right. I mean, again, we don't know all of the tentacles and all of this, mm-hmm. but if people that reside in Jefferson Parish are coming to New Orleans to commit a crime and vice versa. That's the reason why law enforcement really recognizes that it's just good business to cooperate with your partners. And the offenders that are committing these crimes, they are just looking for opportunities, and sometimes it'll be in Jefferson Parish, sometimes it'll be in New Orleans. And look, law enforcement recognizes that.
Let's go to the judge, and I talked about the gun thing before. This gun is, you know, in all shootings, a gun is probably one of the common things that are involved, or else there would not be a shooting. But this specific gun, I don't know, did the mother, we don't know all the facts or anything, but at what point are you responsible for your own gun if your family member takes it one time or another family takes it again? I don't know how you control all of that. Thoughts?
Well,
did the judge do anything wrong as far as you know?
As far as I know, but I haven't done a deep dive on it yet. Mm-hmm. I found out about it yesterday. So, basically, the gun was evidence, and after the completion of the case, the owner, which was apparently the mother, requested her weapon back. The judge agreed to sign it back to her. To get it, she had to go to the JPSO and prove ownership and present the court document, and the judge ordered it returned to her, and that's what happened. And ultimately, that weapon resurfaced again in the double homicide last month.
So at what point legally, and I know you're an attorney, are you responsible for the weapon if you don't report it stolen? General, not in this case, but generally speaking, where does your criminal liability extend if you own a weapon and it is used in a crime or more than one?
So, you know, if you are part and parcel of the plan to commit the crime, of course, you're a principal to it. But in this particular case, unless law enforcement has other information, that could very well be the case. Mm-hmm. You know, and oftentimes when arrests are made, the police get warrants to get people's cell phones, records. So sometimes people text their plans back and forth. And that's a common way that law enforcement solves cases and prosecutors use to prove guilty knowledge and intent. So I don't know all of the evidence that's available, but unless they have something compelling like that, it's very unlikely that the mother's going to be charged with a crime in connection with the fact that that firearm was used in a double homicide.
Thank you, Raphael. Appreciate your time. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year if we don't talk to you again, but I got an idea we may. Thank you, sir. You bet. We'll talk to Greg Upton. We come back, director of LSU's Center for Energy Studies, about Louisiana seeing billions of dollars in investments in the energy industry transition.